Welcome to Night Dreams, where we will discuss the interpretive meaning of dreams from a biblical perspective. Hello, I'm Marcellus Garner, your host for today, and we are excited to have you tune in to our podcast one more time before we go into a new year, 2021. As we close 2020, we have been all challenged. Our faith has been challenged, and yet we came out victorious. And guess what? God has something even better in year 2021. I know some of you have been rattled by the end year activity and the ups and downs, but you made it. You understand, you made it. And that's the critical thing that you need to recall to your mind, is the testimony that God created through every situation that you've encountered and overcame in year 2020. We can all sit around and observe those dismal moments and those discouraging times, and which gives us an opportunity to focus on the negative. But at the end of the day, look at you. You made it. And so we want to thank God for the opportunity to grow our faith and our maturity, expand our knowledge, and give us revelation. And it has been an awesome, awesome opportunity for me. I want to say that our podcast had reached record numbers in 2020. We were listened to in 25 nations of the world. It was stunning. We had viewers listening in from Japan, Hong Kong, Canada, South Africa, Brazil, Vietnam, Thailand, Philippines, Russia, Germany, Poland, Ukraine, Sweden. They're just I am humbled by the impact of something that started off with small beginnings. And the Bible says, despise not the days of small beginnings. So we are so humbled and appreciate those that have sent us their dreams and to our email, which helped others to understand their dreams. See, when you send your dreams in and we discuss your dreams over the air, there are others that get a better understanding through the symbol interpretation of your dream that helps them understand theirs. And so and nothing goes in vain. And we really appreciate it. I want to, before we even get started, I want to direct you to the email address so that you can send your dreams in. That's Night Dreams, N-I-T-E, Dreams, 180 at gmail.com. Please feel free to send us your dreams, and we pray over them and ask God to give us wisdom on how to interpret your dreams. And so with that, we're excited to have Kevin Oregon, a dear friend and a cousin of mine. We both are products of praying women of God that literally prayed us from the streets to the altar. And those mothers out there who you might have some children that are in rebellious mode, and you might think that all hope is gone. And I want you to know that you continue to be faithful and declare over your children what the Word of God says. They're coming, because the Word of God doesn't return unto God void. And when you take up the word of God and you declare it and put him in remembrance of his word, he acts upon it. And we're products of it, aren't we? We're definitely products of it. And so I am excited to have Kevin here. And Kevin is a personal trainer. He works for the city of Pittsburgh here and has been very effective reaching a lot of youth and young people. I am blessed to have him because I believe that you will benefit from his story, testimony that has blessed me. Now, this was years ago, but testimonies do not age. Worship music doesn't age. The world comes out with new songs and you'll hear the young people say, oh, that's no longer in style. That's old. But with God, songs and prophecies and prophetic words don't age. You look at the book of Revelation and look at the prophetic utterance that's in the word of God. They don't age. They become timeless monuments that mark our spirits with hope and faith. And so with that, I want Kevin to share with us. He had an encounter as a young man, which radically impacted his life. And this happened in college some years ago. Now, Kevin had a basketball scholarship. And while he was living with a family temporarily, this family had a different agenda. Oftentimes you meet people and they put on their initial public face or presentation and you don't initially see it. But Kevin shared where he felt something in his spirit that something wasn't right. Something wasn't connected. And he had a situation where the family was seated at the table and they were having a seance and they wanted him to participate. And and he ended up going up stairs because he didn't want to participate. And Kevin, share with us. I remember that that story like it was yesterday. Like it was so fresh. And I thought that your testimony, which is so powerful, because a lot of people can identify with having encounters with the demonic realm, the demonic region, and how it impacted you to this day. So, share with us that testimony once you left the table and went upstairs.
I went upstairs and I told them before I went up there that I didn't want to participate. Just didn't feel right. I went up there and went to lay down. So I guess I must have drifted off to sleep. And there was this force that had come into the room. And it was so demonic. It just didn't feel like heavenly or homely. And
nobody was even in the
room. Nobody was in the room. And while I was asleep, my covers come off of me. Kind of got ripped off of me. And I had was so scared. I was only like 19. I was 19. I got up out of that house. I grabbed my clothes. And I ran out of there.
Wow.
And I had went to the bus station and called my dad. I said, Dad, can you come get me? I'm ready to come home. So I think I waited. Well, yeah, it was a long time ago. So I waited for him at the bus station. And he had come and got me. And I went home. So when I got home that afternoon, I had was hanging out with my girlfriend, you know, once I got home, mm-hmm. and that evening I was, you know, was just still hanging out. We was hanging out at my house, mm-hmm. And I just started interacting with my mother. And so all this was orchestrated by the sovereignty of God.
Wow.
And so what had happened was I had, that evening I had, we were just talking and somehow my mom started ministering to both of us. And at, so she had broke out the scriptures in Acts, the second chapter of Acts, about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, about the, you know, Pentecost. And somehow, I kid you not, that chapter, I don't even think we got through the whole chapter. I think we read like maybe 11 and 12 verses. And those verses, it just came alive. I had ended up, I just stood up. I said, Mom, I want to get saved. I says, you know, because of what happened, all that transpired up until then. And
I want to add, hold your thought. If you knew Kevin, Kevin was, he was a radical, wild, partying, outrageously humorous guy. And, I mean, when he was out there in the world, he was out there. Okay. and then, to see, you got to understand, Kevin was, because he had a hard heart toward the gospel. I mean, when you would minister to him, his, you could tell it angered him. I mean, there was times that, you know, I would witness to him and we were in high school and he would be angry, the fact that I would minister him. And so if you got to understand where he came from, but he had a praying mother like I did. They were sisters. In fact, our mothers, their pictures are in the Carnegie Museum. Carnegie Museum is a world renowned museum here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Andrew Carnegie, he's the he would be a billionaire who built the Carnegie Museum and donated it to Pittsburgh. And our mothers their pictures are featured as one of the first black female gospel groups that had a record, and two of them. And we contribute that to our mothers. And Aunt Josephine was a praying woman of God. And so I love the fact that you shared that your mom was waiting and interceding for her son to come into the kingdom of God. And that is awesome. Now share with us what took place in that living room, just completely 180 degree change. And I mean, it wasn't, you know, this wasn't what you call a gradual change. We're talking about, as radical as Kevin was in the world, his change was radical. I mean, you know, typically, and you know, Kev, we've been around the church quite some time where, you know, typically people, when they accept Jesus Christ, they go to the altar, they ask him, Yahshua to come into their life. And at that point in time, but yours, it took you to actually experience encounter with the underworld. that radically change your life. So here you are in your mother's living room, and what took place next was epic.
Definitely was epic. So we she ministered to me in the second chapter. I said, okay, you know what? That's enough. I want to get saved.
Jeez. There was no, not like you did me, where you had that wall up. There was no resistance. you know, it's amazing. You know, it didn't take that. It just took a gentle push, you know, just a gentle push. But with Kevin, it took something radical, jolting, that really, I mean, to have something unseen come in your room, feel this force, this evil presence come in and take the covers off while they're down there having a seance. That had to be, that doesn't happen every day. And so that encounter is what set the stage for what God has and continually has prepared you for, that one encounter. So you said there wasn't no bargaining, there wasn't no negotiating. You were willful. You were like, look, I want it now.
So I stood up and I put my hands up. I said, Mom, tonight I want to get my life over to God. I want to get saved. And I thought she was going to fall out. She was so shocked. So, because she was ministering and it seemed like, you know, it wasn't happening. You know, things wasn't, you know, going the way she thought it was. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, but she just kept ministering, but it worked. Wow. So I got up and so she said, well, repeat after me, the sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I got through the prayer or not, but I was repeating it and I'm standing up all 6'2" and I put my hands up. All she did was tap her fingertip on my forehead.
My God.
She anointed she took the anointing oil.
Wow.
She didn't put no pressure on my head or anything. Tapped me on my head and I fell out. Under the power of God, the house shook.
Jesus.
The house shook so loud. It's a big 6-bedroom home. It's a real big home. And the house just rumbled and just... I'm on the floor. Under the power of God. And I'm just shaking and I'm just... he's chucking my body with this chucking and shaking. I'm like, man, what is going on? I'm down on the ground just saying to myself, what is going on?
So this wasn't an emotional. No. This was a divine encounter you had.
Yes. It's not like, you know, because as you reported before, you know, you would come and preach to me about some gospel, man. I'm looking at you like, man, you don't get out of my face.
I thought a couple times you were going to physically start swinging. I mean, that's the look you gave. Yeah, hard. Yeah, very, very hard.
You was part of that plan of me getting saved because you was planting seeds. So I'm on the ground for about 45 minutes. I couldn't get up if I wanted to. I was trying to get up, and every time I would try to get up, I would go into convulsions or something. And I'm just chucking, singing. Before I got up, I started speaking in tongues.
My God.
I was like, what is going on here? Wow. And I could hear my girlfriend saying, I can't believe this is Kevin. What? And she was gorgeous. You know what I mean? So that's another story in itself. I had to give that up and chase after what happened to me.
Yes.
45 minutes, I'm on the ground. I get up. Finally got up, and the house was crystal clear. I couldn't believe. I was like, why is everything so clear and crisp? I'm getting up. So that wasn't it. So my mom explained to me what happened. You got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I says, okay, you know, and so what happened was, it was getting late. It was, when I got up, it was 11:45. I remember the time.
Whether this was at night or in the morning?
This was at night.
At night. I didn't know that.
This was at night because we had gotten back at the house probably around 7, 6, 7, 8. I don't know. Somewhere around there. So my mom ministered to us for a couple hours. And so that transpired. You know, the baptism took place. That might have took about another hour or so. You know, and all I remember was I was on the ground for 45 minutes.
Yes.
And so when I got up and gathered myself, I'm still in my spirit and in my everything else. I'm trying to figure out what happened. So it was late. So I said, told my girl, I said, like, I got to take you home. It's late. So my mom took, you know, got in the car and took her home. So on the way home, I would just go unconscious. On the way from my house to her house, I would black out and I would go back into those convulsions. I'll never forget this.
I remember that. I remember that.
This
I remember
was so, that very clear. Now, the ride from my house to her house was 15 to 20 minutes on the north side.
Yeah.
So from that point all the way to the to her house, I'm being conscious, and I would go unconscious. I would come in.
This went over a couple days, didn't it? Because we went to a conference. I don't know if you remember. We went to a conference. There was a minister, and you would go in and out. During the conference, and we were sitting in the back, and you would go in and out just weeping. It was just the power and presence of God. It just lingered on you, that I remember, just lingering. And might I add that Kevin's transformation was so radical that it spread through our city like a wild forest fire in the woods. It people were made aware because it was like a Saul of Tarsus because of Kevin, you know, he was out, he was doing the drugs, he was drinking, he was woman, you know, he was with the girls, he had a lot of females, and so he was out there, you know what I mean? And so when that happened, he went just as hard as and radical as it was when he had that demonic encounter. He had the same radical encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's fascinating. This that testimony, I would think on it over and over again and just be blessed and powerful. Awesome. I'll never forget that. And I know even sharing it, it just brings back. I can remember your mother calling my mother. Tell her, that's how I found out. She was so excited. And I said, what? And she said, yes, Kevin's born again. And you know, college, where the temptation, and you an athlete. And you got all the you know, the females and the temptations that are associated with the college lifestyle. And here this young man, we talking about a young man, 19 years of age, gets radically saved. And I mean, there wasn't no, when he crossed over into the kingdom, there wasn't no backflip, backtracking, you know, I mean, he went just as hard. It was awesome. It was awesome. Now coming up to the present. You just recently had a dream that again had a riveting effect on you, because this dream wasn't like a ordinary dream. You know, a lot of times you dream and you ponder and you know, you really sit on it or you journal it, and you know, unless you know, it might be several months, several weeks, something might trigger it, but this dream spoke back to you immediately.
Yes. Yes.
And so share that with our viewing audience.
Okay, this had to happen in the beginning of the end of last week. I fell asleep. And I had this vision. I was asleep. I had the vision while I was asleep. You understand what I mean? I was mm-hmm. asleep, but when I had the vision, I was asleep in the vision.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I was going to my kitchen and I had these bad apples and I pitched them towards my garbage can. I said, let me just throw them over to the garbage can. It had been like five to six, seven apples, and they were bad. So I threw them and I says, okay, I'll just throw them in the garbage. I'm gonna go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dreaming, you know, this is what I'm dreaming. So I went back to sleep.
So it was a dream within a dream.
Yes.
Okay.
In the dream, I was asleep.
Okay.
And I had,
so you was observing yourself in the dream.
Yes.
That's powerful, folks. We discussed this at our at one of our podcasts where we discuss how there are times when God will allow you to have a dream within a dream, and it has a significant value because you're the observer. You're observing how you are responding to a situation. Okay, go ahead.
So I went back to lay down on my couch, and I must have went back to sleep in the dream for about 10 minutes tops. Soon as I got back to sleep in the dream, my phone rang. My little sister called, and she was like, "What are you doing, big bro?" I says, "I'm sleep. You just woke me up. I was asleep. You called me." And she says, "You know what?" And she just, you know, little sisters and you mm-hmm. know family. Mm-hmm. You know, you just start talking. You'll talk about one subject and jump right into something else. So she immediately said, "You know what? I got these bad apples. I'm getting ready to throw these out. They're Jesus. Bad." I said, "What? Mm-hmm. Apples?" Mm-hmm. I said, "I just had a dream about apples. You called mm-hmm. and woke me up about these apples." And so from there, I took it. I called Marcellus. We call him Pastor Marcellus, but I called Marcellus. I says, "Mark, you have to help me with this vision I had. It was like 5-10 minutes right before I woke up."
Wow. Wow.
And from that.
That was awesome. I shared with Kevin after just pondering about the apples. Apples mean wisdom, prosperity. But in Kevin's situation, what God was telling him is don't throw away the wisdom deposits that I've placed in you. You've discarded wisdom impartations and thought it wasn't me when it was me. And so there's a scripture that I had quoted earlier. Don't despise the days of small beginning. Those little small deposits, the things that God shows you, you're not to dismiss them. And then God had his sister call him up to confirm. She was oblivious to his dream.
Yes.
The dream spoke back to him.
That fast.
So, and Kevin was so impacted radically by it because there was some things in Kevin's life. I don't know what it is, but and oftentimes when I'm talking and discussing people's dreams, I ask them, "Look, I don't know what it is," unless God actually shows me, and he has at times showed me different ones. But many times the individual already knows this applies in this particular area of my life. And Kevin was like, oh my God, I know exactly. I know exactly what the Holy Spirit is telling me. I know where this applies. And folks, God speaks in dreams. He speaks. He'll have you when he wants to place a sense of urgency on something that he wants in your life, whether it's correction, instruction, impartation, or revelation. He will interrupt your dream world to get that message across, and he'll verify it. It's almost like he gave you a receipt.
Well, this is the thing. You can go back and recap. I'm a person, once I go to sleep, I'm out. I don't dream for nothing.
Wow.
I don't dream. I don't try to dream. I'd be so tired.
Just be so tired.
Like if I'm laying down, it's time to go lay down.
Yes.
But once I have something,
my God.
It's like Cornelius and Peter.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. Listen, folks, listen what he's saying here is that God, a loving God, merciful God, reached down in his scheduled time of rest and sleep and interrupted it because he felt that he was that important to visit him in his night dreams. I tell you, there's every time that God visits me in my dream, he shows me something. I am humbled by it, that God would think so much of me to visit me. And wow, what an awesome visitation in your dreams. And that's how God is going to do. Maybe not like in that capacity, but God is going to speak to you if he hasn't already. If he hasn't already, there are some of you right now that you're in a crossroad, a decision. It might be in a business related matter, relationship. It might be what's the next plan. We're going in year 2021. And there's directions. There's things that you need to know concerning your decision. We're right now, the world is in a revolving ball, and it seems like it's a miracle round, and it seemed like it won't stop. But let me explain something to you. Don't you get yourself all aroused and frazzled by everything that you hear and see. The kingdom of God is totally at peace. God's angels are not being laid off. The Lord God Jehovah stands there on the throne, the center of the world. He peacefully governs the world. He's not moved by what goes on in the nation. He's moved by the prayers of his children that come before him. If my people, the Bible says, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's it. Seek his face.
Yes.
Turn from their evil ways. Then God will hear from you. Heal your land. And so God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't neglected you. He hasn't forsaken you. Some of you just, there's many believers that have said, oh my God, where's God at? Where's God in all this confusion? Where's God at in this lockdown? Where's he at? He said, I'm right here. I've never left. I'm here. All is well. And so I want to challenge you as we come to a close. Powerful, cuz. Powerful, powerful, powerful. We really appreciate there's the anointing on that. Testimony you left. It felt like it was just fresh right out of high school, man. I tell you, it just blessed us. There's some of you right now who are at a crossroad. And I want to leave you with this opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're going into year 2001. Listen, I was coming from Manila. Everything was well. Everything was at peace. And a week later, everything flipped that fast. Okay. But there was total peace in God's kingdom. The kingdom of God ain't flipped. Mm. Everything, you know, down here, you know, if there was chaos. And your world can be flipped in a matter of seconds. Where are you going to run to? Who are you going to go to? And God is saying, I'm here. You don't need to go nowhere. I never left you, never forsook you. I'm not moved. Heaven's not laying off. It's total peace. And I want to leave you with the same encounter that Kevin had. We want to lead you to Christ. Kevin, will you take the honors and just have people repeat after you as you lead them to Jesus? They're tuning in from all over the globe. We got them from South Africa, Brazil. We got them. They're tuning in from even Russia, Poland, Romania, Ukraine, Saudi Arabia. They're all over the world right now, and they tune in to our podcast. And you've shared a powerful message of hope, and you shared with them how God is a very personable God. Can you share with them and lead them into a prayer of salvation?
Yes. If you can just repeat after me. Father God.
Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I come before you.
I come before you.
A sinner.
A sinner.
I desire.
I desire.
My life.
My life.
To be governed.
To be governed.
By you.
By you.
I commit my mind.
I commit my mind.
I commit my soul.
I commit my soul.
I commit my body.
I commit my body.
All unto you.
All unto you.
That you may change me.
That you may change me.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
Forevermore.
Forevermore.
That my name will be marked.
Will be marked.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, thank you guys. Listen, we encourage you to get into a Bible-believing church and get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Saturate your, renew your mind in the Word of God. If you have a dream, please send it in to Night Dreams. That's NITE, Dreams, 180 @gmail.com. Remember this, if God can't reach you during your day, he will definitely catch up with you in your night dreams. God bless you and Happy New Year's.